Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/hive. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Welcome to The Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Iceland Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Guys, it's spoiler week. We've got some serious spoilers to talk about this week. Be forewarned, if you're listening to episode 9 of The Wretched Hive for Friday, September 16th, you may get some spoilers from episode 8, possibly the focus of the second standalone film, starring Boba Fett, potentially. Maybe, we'll sort it out for you. And we are thrilled that you have joined us for episode 19, and let's not belabor the point. Let's get right into it. Joining me on this week's episode is my desert scavenger and yours, Greg Lent.
Whoa! I got a little confused there when you were talking about episode 9. I had to count on all my fingers and toes, and I'm like, aren't we on like episode 19? But then I realized that no, you were talking about a movie coming up in just a few short years. So thank you for the clarification. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sorry about that. The movies are coming up. Episode 8 would be the next episodic film. This would be episode 19 of The Wretched Hive.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have to. I also have to back up. Who was that sexy, sassy voice at the very beginning there during the opening? Oh my God! I think. Never mind.
Well, this is going to be awkward. That was actually me this week. Me.
What?
Yep.
God damn it. Well,
I'm having Vujade for some weird reason. This is weird.
You sound hot, sir. Can I say that? You sound hot.
I feel hot.
Greg has just become more discerning the older he gets.
Also joining us on this week's show, lifelong Star Wars fan Scott Ivansky.
Bunch of sexy motherfuckers tonight. You know it.
Scott, how many glasses of Jameson's are you in as we record this show right now?
I just started, but man, I'm pumped. Well, I haven't decided. Is it going to be a Jameson's night, Sailor Jerry's, or some good old-fashioned tequila?
I'm tequila. I vote tequila.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Throw it all in the glass, and like Rick Ocasek said, shake it up, baby.
Shake it up.
Also joining us, of course, we have Dave! Do not, under any circumstances, ever call him Harry Potter.
It's a blue moon night for me. I'm afraid I'm just not as fancy as Scott is.
Very few people are as fancy as Scott, let's face it.
It's hard to pull off fancy like Ivansky pulls off fancy.
Yes.
It's Ivansky fancy.
I'm getting a little choked up here. I'm going to start singing my Kesha pretty soon.
Noticeably absent, third show in a row, is the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez. And, of course, we know he's working. He's a hard-working young man. And, Greg, any updates on Nico's job this week?
Kind of a sad one, actually. He had to go out to the high desert area, to a little farm. And tragically, I think there was a couple that may have been the victims of a domestic dispute, I would think. As both a husband and wife were found, both killed on the property. And goddammit, they weren't just down to skeletons.
I blame it on blue milk. Too much blue milk.
That stuff will wreck you.
Don't do blue milk and drive. That's
wreck.
Sure.
Just wreck you. So he does send his regards, and if he's out there listening, we miss him terribly.
We do.
By the way, have you seen the fan made 3¾-inch action figure shot of the Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru double pack, and it's like their skeletons are all burnt up.
Yes. Oh yes.
Yes.
So great. I would buy that in a second. Come on, Hasbro, where are you? Let's go.
I'm surprised they haven't made those.
Well, I don't, you know, I honestly, I don't remember the show notes off the top of my head. And I think it is in there, but there's a new fan film that's been making the rounds this week, and I think we'll be talking about it later. But it harkens back to the days. I think Star Wars, at least in my experience, a lot more so than many other properties that is out there, has really given birth to so many fan projects that are out there as far as people making films and everything. And one of the earliest I remember was the Troops cartoon, which was all – or not cartoon, live-action film, which was based off of the old Cops series, except it was all stormtroopers talking about their day. It's like somebody – you know, there's a camera crew on a ride-along with a group of stormtroopers, and one of the places that visited was the Lars farm, and just hilarious. Hilarious.
Well, that was sort of – that ushered in the age of fan films. I mean, Star Wars Cops, I mean, that was just a classic. It's still out there. You can find it on YouTube, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
There's nothing better than seeing that that Troops short with the stormtrooper who's trying to break up the domestic abuse fight or whatever that's happening, and the trooper that's having the moment with Lars has the most amazing Fargo accent ever. just that's brought it down to such a great level.
That's right. I had forgotten about the Fargo accent.
Yeah.
Classic, man.
Yeah. But I want to throw in one other thing. The ultimate fan film was obviously Hardware Wars, which years later, all the different ones. I mean, there's so many wonderful early. The 90s spawned so many great fan films. We should do a whole thing on just those alone. Pink 5 is a great one.
You know what? Yeah, save all that. I think that deserves a very special episode of The Wretched Hive.
Yeah,
you know,
we Trooper need to Clerks do and a bunch of others are out there that are great.
I thought the very special episode where Scott loses his virginity.
Hey, now. So we're going back like 5 years?
Wait a minute. You've got a teenager. I know at least it once. At least once it happened at least 13, 14 years ago.
I'm a science guy, man. Work.
Well, guys,
I'm a doctor, not a lover.
Guys, we started a new segment last week. We're going to keep going with it. Star Wars Choices.
It's a little game we like to call Star Wars Choices.
Think of a hard choice you'll face in the near future.
You must choose.
Okay, would you rather be intimate with a Wookiee?
Choose wisely.
Or be intimate with Princess Leia in the gold bikini, but it's the modern day Carrie Fisher.
I just assumed it's a woman.
Why do I have to choose? Give me choices. Stop giving me choices.
Well, last week's Star Wars Choices ended in a dead heat. 2-2. We didn't have the tiebreaker with Nico, who still needs to call in and give us his opinion on Star Wars Choices from last week. But we've got a whole new set of choices for you this week, guys, and it's a tough one. I'm really excited to see what you think about these two options. Keep in mind, you get one choice. It's the choice that you're going to have to live with. When we're doing this podcast 10 years from now, I'm going to remind you that you made this choice. You're going to have to live with it, so deal. All right? So here's your Star Wars choice for episode 19. Would you rather get a Boba Fett focused standalone film or an animated television series in the Tartakovsky style of animation? Would you rather have a Boba Fett focused sequel standalone film or a Tartakovsky style weekly Star Wars animated show.
Man.
And I'm going to put Greg on the spot. Greg?
You're going to make me start. Well, that for me is an easy choice. Now, I would love to see a Boba Fett feature film. He has the potential to be a fascinating character. You know, Star Wars has a really, I'm going to call it a bad habit of introducing these characters who people build up as going to be something amazing. They're starting with Boba Fett in the prequels. I think it was Aura Singh. She was a bounty hunter who had I think 2 seconds of screen time in episode one.
7.5 seconds.
There you go.
Smoking hot blue skin.
And in Force Awakens, there was Captain Phasma. And at least in Phasma and Boba Fett's cases, kind of got the short end of the stick when it came to character development and everything like that. And, you know, Phasma gets taken out like a punk. Boba Fett dies like a punk. So they're not as badass, I think, as everybody wanted them to be. So the Boba Fett movie has a chance to redeem that, and I think that'd be awesome to see. However, however, the Tartakovsky Clone Wars micro series, of which there's only an hour total of, is, in my opinion, the greatest television appearance of Star Wars, you know, hands down, bar none. All of your Clone Wars, all of your Rebels, all of your Ewok adventures, the Tartakovsky one. I know it's a high bar,
wow,
but all of the Tartakovsky ones are fantastic. So without a doubt, it would be a Tartakovsky series. I would watch that in a heart. And going back, because Samurai Jack, you know, there was 4 seasons of Samurai Jack. There's going to be a 5th season coming on to Netflix. That whole series is fantastic. So yeah, it's without a doubt, I would go Tartakovsky Star Wars series in a heartbeat, twice on Sundays.
All right, one for Tartakovsky. All right, Scott, you're up.
Oh, man.
Make your choice.
I don't even want to be put on the spot second, but this is a tough one. This is tougher than the last one. And you know what? Honestly, I totally, totally agree and want to side with you 100%, Greg. I really do. The original Clone Wars series that Genndy Tartakovsky, if I'm saying that correctly, did, is absolutely fantastic. There is not a bad episode. The slowest episode is better than quite a bit of the animation that's been produced in the Star Wars realm. But, you know, the one thing is, I would really like to see a well-done action film with Boba Fett. Some backstory. There were so many great comic book stories with Boba Fett. I've said it before on this show, I'll say it again. Twin Engines of Destruction is one of my favorite one-off comic books. It's a great story. It's a great character. He did die like a chump, which pissed me off, but it really just made me hate Lucas a little bit more. You know,
a little bit more. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
you hate Lucas. No,
I've got
hold
lots
on,
of,
hang
lots
on.
Of bones to pick with Mr. Lucas. You know that,
I know.
Steve. All right,
but
I'm gonna side with the Boba Fett movie. I like what Greg was actually pointing out about certain characters that get introduced and have potential. And I don't know if this is the direction you were trying to go with here, but the potential of seeing, like, Aura Singh was a great character, which would have been awesome to see more of in the actual film. And actually carry over into the next films. And they didn't. It was a failure on their part. She could have had a great backstory and a history, much like Boba Fett did in the series, the original trilogy. And I would like to see one of my all-time favorite characters, Boba Fett, have a standalone film with some good action, some really decent dialogue, and some great backstory. So Boba Fett for me.
All right.
And just a quick correction, Steve. Did you say Aura Singh had blue skin?
Yeah, doesn't she have blue skin?
She is white skinned, like pale white.
Oh, Aura Singh. Who's the blue skinned Jedi that gets killed in the jungle area of episode 3.
Is that Ayla
Secura? Oh, Ayla Secura.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Yes, yes.
Ah.
God.
Such a geek that shine.
She's the hot blue skin Twi'lek.
Okay, Shatner.
Steve, can I jump in with a follow-up choice just for Scott real quick?
I'm just
curious.
Do it.
All right, Scott.
Yeah.
Star Wars animated series in the Tartakovsky style.
Yeah.
Or season 8 Buffy the Vampire Slayer on TV.
Oh. Son of a bitch, you are just making life difficult for me.
I have to produce a segment for Buffy Talk on this show.
I just wanted to throw that out there for Scott because you were talking it up so much. I know you have a love for Buffy, so.
Okay, I'll make this quick and I'll say it as honest as possible. Since we already have both series in the can, on DVD, on Blu-ray, whatever you want to call it, I will say this right now. I want to see season 8 of Buffy.
All right. Okay. Didn't
they make a comic series of season 8?
They did.
All
they did.
24 issues, and damn it, they are amazing.
It's pretty good.
Amazing, guys.
Anyway, I didn't want to derail it. I just wanted to reaffirm Scott's impure love for the Buff.
Yeah, because this show never gets derailed. So.
So to get it back on track, it's an easy choice for me. Boba Fett is hands down the most pussified, wimpy character in Return of the Jedi. I mean, you can complain about Han Solo being whipped, and Boba Fett just takes it to a whole new level. He just dies like a whiny little stupid bitch. And Jango Fett being the klutzy, successful bounty hunter really doesn't do a lot to redeem that for me. So I'm all about the animated series, man. I don't even have to think twice about it.
All right, that's 2 for Tartakovsky series, 1 for Boba Fett. I am going to, unfortunately, side with the Tartakovsky group.
Ooh. We know no need for a tiebreaker this week.
3-1 tonight. I love that Tartakovsky stuff. It is so strong. Everything about that show is so well done. The writing, the story, the voice actors, everything about it is strong. I would kill or die for a Tartakovsky animated show every week. Are you kidding me? My God.
So just going back and thinking about it the scene that always just get, well, there's really 2 scenes. There's the scene and both of them, there's like no dialogue in the scenes at all. And that was the great thing is you could just watch this show and soak it in and just experience it. And nobody has to explain anything that's going on. It was so awesome.
Can I guess before you do this, Greg? I want to guess one of them.
Yeah, I'm sure you know what it is.
One of the two that you're going to pick is going to be the standalone Mace Windu episode.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Where Mace Windu just jumps into the middle of all the battle droids and is just like, ah! Yeah.
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
I said, I don't think there's a word of dialogue in that entire episode.
Not until I think the very end when he comes across the little boy standing on the cliff watching it all happen. There is, I think, one moment where the boy says something and gives him a drink of water.
Yeah.
And that was so much better than Attack of the Clones.
Right. Right?
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I'm not arguing with you guys. I am on board with this. If I get that instead of the Boba Fett movie, I'm with you. And you know what? I agree with Dave. Boba Fett was a complete pussy in that film. Anyone that screams like that, gets whacked in the back of his jetpack, flies into the side of Jabba's barge, and gets swallowed by the Sarlacc. Come on. What? That is not Boba Fett.
Screaming the whole time.
Yeah. The only thing that saved that moment for me, and this isn't even a real save, it wasn't even as bad as the Darth Vader no scream at the end of Revenge of the Sith. Thank God George Lucas didn't re-edit that scream into it. Oh, oh.
Well, what do you think about the idea that the fact that Boba Fett went down screaming like a little bitch is proof that that wasn't really Boba Fett? Have you heard this theory? There's a whole theory. There's a whole thing about that it's the Boba Fett armor, but potentially not Boba Fett in the armor. The armor gets Boba Fett gets killed, and whoever kills him takes the armor and becomes Boba Fett.
So he's like the Dread Pirate Roberts all of a sudden?
I don't know that reference, but yes.
Okay.
No, nobody's frightened of the Dread Pirate Wesley. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Well,
the Princess Bride, Steve. Princess Bride.
Oh, sorry. A little slow tonight.
It's all right. Okay, Scott's looking it up as we speak.
I'm going to throw this in because this is expanded universe, non-canon material, but because I've read quite a bit of the Boba Fett stories that have been in Tales from Jabba's Palace, Twin Engines of Destruction. There is another solo one-off comic. There was the whole concept of Twin Engines of Destruction is, first of all, let me sidetrack this. I'm going to add to your little, our choices here, our contest, or our segment. How about can we just have a Boba Fett Tarkovsky episode? Can I just go with that? Oh. That would be killer.
Oh,
you know, I'm going to sidetrack your sidetrack. I rented Twin Engines of Destruction the other day from the video store. It was not what I was expecting it to be. Can we just leave it at that?
I hope not. Did you have to go behind a special curtain to get that?
Yeah, how did you know?
Wait, they still have video stores? Wait a minute.
I was going to say, that's the funniest part of this whole thing. He went to
Where is there still a video store? I saw a VCR repair store the other day, and I almost stopped and took a picture because I didn't believe it.
Well, you should have. Oh, my God.
Free video store, translation, pornhub.com.
Oh man. No, so the concept of Twin Engines of Destruction is that there is another bounty hunter that capitalizes off Boba Fett's popularity and skills by basically stealing his outfit and pretending to be Boba Fett and getting jobs based off of that. And his name is Jodo Kast, and unfortunately he's not killed. Boba Fett is not killed in that series. So I'm throwing a little wrench into that plan. Maybe it was Jodo Kast later on or something to that effect that went down into the Sarlacc pit like a little bitch.
All right. Well, either way, Tartakovsky wins. Lucasfilm, are you paying attention? Listen up. We are influential members of the Star Wars media. At least
the fans have spoken.
At least our mothers think that.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Well, guys, we've got news all over the board tonight, and we're going to start off with talking about animated shows. Star Wars Rebels coming quickly. We've got a lot of new announcements coming, and we've got a... announcement that we've got a Star Wars or a character from Star Wars Rebels that is joining the cast. Sorry, of Star Wars. Oh my gosh, can we start over?
We're gonna fix this in post.
Star Wars: The Clone Wars. Thank you. Who is transitioning to Star Wars Rebels? My God, Bo-Katan. So, are you guys familiar with this character, Bo-Katan, from Star Wars: The Clone Wars?
I am not. I didn't. I think I'm the one famously who has not watched The Clone Wars yet. It's on my list. I intend to watch it, but I am not there yet.
Okay. So, there's a group in The Clone Wars called the Death Watch, and Bo-Katan is part of the Death Watch, and she was actually a sister of Duchess Satine, who is romantically connected to none other than Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Bo-Katan helps Obi-Wan Kenobi escape towards the end of the series, escape certain death. And so this is a pretty cool announcement. Bo-Katan, very, very cool character, coming to Rebels Season 3.
So is that the character to be played by Katie Sackhoff?
That would be the one.
Yes. Okay. So she... also, for sci-fi fans, was the character Starbuck on the rebooted Battlestar Galactica.
Unbelievable show. Go out and see it now.
Are you listening, Christine?
one of the greatest, seriously, greatest dramas ever, ever made, ever. So damn good.
I'm lined up shoulder to shoulder with you on this, Mr. Ivansky.
Yeah. I like that, Dave. Let's start a revolution.
Rebels will be out September 24th, so we're probably getting close to like a week away, yeah. Right? I think we're getting close to like a week away.
Yeah.
All right, so by the next episode, maybe we'll have a review of the first episode of Season 3. Personally, I am really excited about the upcoming season of Rebels. We have the introduction of Thrawn. I got through Seasons 1 and 2 and enjoyed them immensely. Very well done. I'm actually looking forward to Season 3. I plan on keeping... trying to keep up to date. Instead of like binging them all at the end, I'll probably try and watch them as they air, but I may fall a little bit behind here and there.
That would be fun. I mean, they're 22-minute episodes, right? So it's not a huge commitment to try to watch every week, and I think it would be good to talk on the show. About it on the show. It's a fun show. You've got some compelling storylines and characters this season, and I think it would be worth our while to do that, to watch that show.
I will promise to catch up. I will watch Rebels finally, but I want to bend some ears here. Dave and Steve, who have both watched Clone Wars all the way through, is that correct?
Yep.
Since we brought up Bo-Katan, and Death Watch, is Bo-Katan, it's been a while since I've seen it, is that the character that looks kind of like Boba Fett, the Mandalorian armor, with the blue and the gray?
She does wear Mando armor, yes.
Okay. I know who we're talking about.
Well, the Death Watch is sort of, I can't remember the exact connection, but there's a connection with the Mandalorian.
They all wear the Mandalorian armor, and they are like assassins or something. They're like a little side group, an offshoot group of the Mandalorians, right?
Yeah, they're on Mandalore, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. That series was great, and I think Rebels is holding up really well. I'm excited for season 3, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Have you watched all of seasons 1 and 2? I think you said you were through 1, but have you watched all of season 2 yet?
I need to try to binge some season 2 this weekend. I got through 1. I have not seen season 2 all the way through. About halfway.
Okay. Excellent.
Now, I'm curious, and I'm not trying to throw a negative damper on this, but a couple of the reviews I've heard of Rebels so far is it's good. Season 2 is actually really good. Mm-hmm. Season 1, from a lot of these reviews that I've been reading, seems to be more of just a setup for Season 2. And a lot of it is, I don't want to say throwaway, but a lot of filler type material. Decent, but still, once you get to Season 2, everything I've heard is basically just a much better show. So I'm curious what you guys think that have actually watched all the season. So
well, I didn't. So I've seen about half a season 2, but it's kind of interesting because I sort of have seen like every other episode kind of a thing. And then towards the end, there was Vader makes an appearance towards the end of, or is he all the way through season 2, Greg? Or is it just
most of
the
it?
End?
Okay, yeah, he's in a lot of episodes. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So when you know towards the end of that season with him, there's a lot of insight you gain from watching those last few episodes with Vader. And who does he battle with at the very end? The season finale.
Ahsoka Tano.
There's a lot of depth there that we could get into, and I need to rewatch those episodes because, I mean, you can get into even like the origins of the Force and where, what happens with Ahsoka, and it's pretty intense. There's a lot of clues there about the Force and what happens when you are part of a Jedi or you're strong in the Force and you die. Whether or not she died is still a mystery, but presume that she did. But we'll find out, I suppose, in season 3.
There's also an Ahsoka novel coming out next year.
Excellent.
Yeah, Ahsoka has become one of the most popular characters, especially among the those that are youthful.
The younger generation. Yeah, and to Scott's question there, the differences between season one and season two, I think that's a valid, I guess, a criticism or at least a comment about the series is there is a lot of setup and introduction and kind of world building. But I think the good point to that is there are only, I think, 12 episodes in the first season.
Okay.
And at 22 minutes, I mean, you could get through all 12 in an afternoon. I mean, it's really not a huge commitment. In season two, they expand it out and they have a full, I think it's 23, 24 episodes or something like that. But season one is only, I think it's only 11 or 12 episodes. It's short. So you can, I mean, yes, it, you know, there's so much more that happens in season two than happens in season one. But I think they wanted to build the world and they wanted to make sure they were going to get renewed. So they only produced the 11 or 12 episodes that they did. So,
okay. Excellent.
I'll definitely dive into it.
Yep.
Very, very cool. Well, let's move on. We've got, StarWars.com released a super, super awesome video effects reel for The Force Awakens. And I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to look at it, but I checked it out earlier this week, and this thing is super cool. If you go to StarWars.com and search for the video effects reel or for The Force Awakens, it is really, really well done.
Steve, I'm going to just interrupt you real quick. I did post that on our Wretched Hive Facebook page, awesome. So a little plug for ourselves right there.
Yeah, Facebook.com. / Wretched Hive Podcast. You can find the link. And this reel they put together is so cool because it really shows how they built the digital environments around the actors. And it's so cool how they layer. You know, they show the scene, for instance, with the trench run at the end of The Force Awakens and how they layer in the artist rendering with the digital elements. And it's so cool just to see sort of the trench run or the trench itself sort of be built around these ships. And it's really amazing the amount of visual effects and how good they are getting. You know, there's the bay on board, you know, when Poe Dameron gets captured and they take him into the docking bay of the new Death Star. And it just looks like a set, but it's almost like 90% digitized. It's pretty amazing.
It's completely different, Steve. I don't know what you mean, this new Death Star stuff. It's completely different.
Death Star 3.
# Death Star 3. So, yeah, I totally agree. These things are very popular now. It seems like, you know, television shows, they do them for The Walking Dead. They do them for Game of Thrones. Every single big effects movie that was out there. I remember watching the one for The Martian and... Which really blew me away. It's not like a blow your hair back kind of thing, but it blew me away that they digitally enhanced Matt Damon's beard. He didn't even have a real beard. They had to digitally color in his beard for The Martian, which I think is hilarious. So they're very short. They're 5-6 minutes long, but yeah, they're amazing to watch. And I have so much respect for these artists and anybody in this industry. They need to get more credit and they need to be treated better because apparently this is a very rough industry to work in right now, but they're doing the Lord's work. So more power to them.
No doubt about it. Definitely, definitely watch it. Worth a viewing there. Yeah. It's only 6 or 7 minutes long and it's just fantastic. And which brings me to, we've got a couple of stories about fan-made films. And just the technology is so amazing. I mean, just the fact that a bunch of schlockers like us can actually produce a podcast and get it on iTunes is one thing. But there are guys out there, and girls, I presume, that are making really, really great original fan-made films that, you know, we talked about Troops or Troopers earlier in the show. And, I mean... You know, the technology that's available now just allows you to take that just to another level. And there's one film in particular called Jedi's Code that I think, Greg, you put in the show notes here that is just so cool. It's just phenomenal. The digital art, the special effects, you know, setting aside the acting and the writing and everything, which is good, but the effects are just really amazing. It's really, really good stuff. Jedi's Code on YouTube. Search it up and you won't be disappointed. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I could throw the link onto the Facebook page. I think these guys deserve a view. The movie is only about 8 minutes long. It's made by just a bunch of fans, but it's well acted. The effects are really interesting. And I think the good thing about that is there's so many other little fan-made projects that are equally good that come up there too. This is all super impressive stuff. I'm really stoked to see these things come out. They're super fun, and it's really cool to show that, you know, anybody can do this stuff. We could all get together on a weekend with all of our iPhones and put together something, you know. So,
oh man, this is thrown back to. I might have to dig up some old video footage. Some other friends of mine 20 years ago tried doing some fan film stuff and. Wow. Some really bad blue screen work. But it's amazing what you can do with some Kenner and Hasbro toys and a couple kitchen utensils.
Okay, so you did it.
Yeah.
I did it with made movies, little Super 8 movies with the action figures.
Yeah.
Did any of you guys not do that? So did you guys, Steve or Dave, did you guys ever do... you know, either stop motion or just any type of movies with your little action figures?
My brother and I did not with action figures, but we did do like a test reel or whatever, just kind of messing around with stop motion with claymation monsters. Which actually used a Star Wars playset as the backdrop or the setting for them, kind of, you know, moving across and interacting on a desert landscape.
Nice.
Oh yeah. All right, that's it. I'm going and I'm going to find this footage. I'm going to post it up on our Facebook page, man. It's some really bad stuff.
It must be done.
And I did not do a Star Wars themed. I actually filmed some commercials with a friend of mine. I remember I had a commercial totally unrelated to Star Wars that was about a toothpaste fortified with cocaine. So take take that for what it
you
is.
Guys. Wow.
But I was also into the audio stuff. So I had friends come over and we would do these skits where we would call. It was kind of like, remember the Jerky Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of in that realm. We would sort of prank call people and keep them on the line as long as we could and then just, you know, crack up laughing. stupid stuff like that. But.
Well, I'm going to jump back on Greg's question. We actually did stop motion as well. We did two actual films, which are up online somewhere. I will get the links. And there is a tie-in to Star Wars on this. One of them, we used all of a friend's sister's old stuffed animals, and we did this entire cowboy sequence with Odie from Garfield, Sam... the Eagle from the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics, a bunch of other stuffed animals, and we used John Williams' cowboy score as the score over it in the background. It's an amazing piece. It's only about 2 minutes long. The second one was the two Rudolph. Remember the Rudolph reindeer stuffed animals? They had like sand in their paws, and you can set them on your mantle and hang them over chairs and
Yeah, and they would just kind of hang there. The sand kind of weighted them down, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We had two of those have a big old knife fight underneath a Christmas tree. and the one that lost, the blood when the knife went in, was all these red M&Ms spilled out all over the place. And the end credits formed our names on the floor, and then the two of us appeared on the sides of the frame, and the M&Ms would just disappear into our mouths as they trailed off. Brilliant work, though, I'm telling you. I don't know why Lucas never called us, but whatever.
I think you're using Steve's cocaine toothpaste to get that done.
We need to see that, by the way. I need to see it. We need to put these online. That's too good. That's strong.
I have, seriously, though, the sad fact is I have about 6 DVDs worth of old video footage that these friends of mine and I used to do all the time. It's some really bad stuff.
All right, and you too can own the 6 DVD set. Scotty,
I will produce them for $19.95 each. You can contact Scott at the Wretched Hive. No.
Call now. Operators are standing by.
If you order now, you will get audio commentary by the Wretched Hive as a bonus.
Oh, my God. Let's do that. All right. I'm pouring another drink.
We will also give you a free souvenir pack of M&Ms.
Oh, man.
Wretched M's. All right. Well, talking about old videos. That's a segue. Uh-oh. That's called a segue, people. StarWars.com has posted From Star Wars to Jedi, The Making of a Saga. And this is a great, great film. Period piece, really. Must have been produced, I'm guessing, in 81 or 82. That's a total guess. But narrated by Mark Hamill. Maybe a little bit later. Was it after Jedi? No,
Jedi.
It's after Jedi.
It's one of the first like real retrospective pieces that was put together. And it's officially licensed. Lucasfilm put it together and released it. I think it originally broadcast on TV, and Dave, I think this is the one. Is this the one that's on your cherished VCR collection that you're hanging on to for dear life?
Yes, I. This is the one. There was a box set of VHS original trilogy movies came out. I want to say in the late 80s, early 90s. A VHS of this film was included with that box set, and as far as I know, that is the only place this film has ever been available for purchase or viewing up until this announcement right now.
Yeah, now you can watch it right now on StarWars.com. I found this on the main Star Wars website. I was super impressed, and it's the whole thing. It's an hour plus that you can sit down and watch this thing, and it's such a great watch. It really is such a great watch if you're a fan of the films and everything like that. If you haven't seen it yet, go out and watch it. It's super.
It is fantastic.
Basically, it's the reason VCR repair stops still exist, is so you could watch this.
So I have a single copy. I'll hold it up so you guys can see. From Star Wars to Jedi.
Yep.
It's my old VHS copy. I do not have a VHS player.
I got one over here. I got one over.
Yeah, so I need to convert this to digital.
I know a shop where you can get it fixed, apparently. So.
Yeah, so really, really good stuff. Worth your time. Shows a lot of the stop animation from Empire. I'm just reading the back of my package here. Spectacular footage from all three films.
The back of your package.
That's what she said.
You must be really flexible.
Wow. This one is for you, Greg. It has the Ewok voyage, how it was created, and what it all means.
Yeah. Yub nub, mofo. Yep, the original Star Wars animatics, miniature special effects photography, combined technological effects. See how a real redwood forest is combined with matte paintings, a blue screen, puppets, actors on bikes, and incredible editing to create one of the most breathtaking chase sequences ever filmed. 1983. And it's really cool because it is narrated by none other than Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill. Good stuff. Also worth noting, another Lucasfilm property, the soundtracks. The soundtracks are getting another vinyl re-release. The original Star Wars soundtracks, as being reported here by MovieWeb.com. Let's see, this is just a few days ago. There are a few movie scores that are more iconic than John Williams' score for the original Star Wars. That being the case, fans will surely be delighted to know that the legendary score for A New Hope is getting a very cool new vinyl pressing in honor of Force Friday this year. Which is, when is Force Friday? September 30th? It's coming up.
And I think September 30th is the day.
Yep. The best part is that, again, reading from MovieWeb.com.
The day. It's possible it's not. Yeah, Force Friday number 2 is September 30th. That's correct.
Nice.
If I didn't already own A New Hope on vinyl, I would get this. The disc that they're putting out, They're picture discs, so like one disc has a pressing of the Death Star on it, and they have different photos and whatnot on all other on the remaining three sides, because it will be a double vinyl release. For the people who don't know, you actually have to flip records over to hear the entire thing. So, I know, right? It's crazy, but this is actually the third release of this year. They had that Ultra Super Edition box set that was every Star Wars music ever recorded. That was, we determined, somewhere around $250. That was released about a year ago. Earlier this year, there were the hologram editions that, when you play them, a little hologram of either the Millennium Falcon or a TIE Fighter would hover over the vinyl as it's playing, which sounds super awesome, but I don't quite understand the technology, how that works. And so this would be number three. I already own it, so I ain't going to go out and buy it, but I appreciate the fact that they're putting it out there, because vinyl is awesome, and I'm old.
Now, this looks really cool. I mean, so there's two discs, two vinyl records. And so there's four sides altogether. So one side is the Death Star. It's perfectly around the Death Star, takes up the whole record. So it looks really cool. I imagine it looks really cool on a turntable. Another side is an iconic picture of Darth Vader. And it looks like the one that was on the back of the original vinyl release, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
Yep. Very cool.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, jump in.
Is this breaking news?
This is breaking news on what episode are we on? 19? Is that what we're at? Oh my 19, goodness. 19. We have a special guest. It looks like we have the captain of the Millennial Falcon himself joining us.
What? Where'd you hear that? I don't know where you heard that.
Who told Nico! You that the captain!
The captain is here.
Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
How are you?
So damn good.
I'm very well. Glad to be here. Glad to grace you all with my wise wisdom and presence.
We're speaking of Star Wars vinyl. As a young millennial, what do you think of re-releasing Star Wars soundtracks on vinyl?
As a young millennial, I would have to say, what is vinyl? I'm kidding. for the original soundtracks, I think it would be really cool for the original trilogy, 4, 5, and 6. I'm not sure about some of the newer stuff, just because I haven't listened to those soundtracks over and over and over again. I don't know how they would sound on vinyl. I don't know if they've got a lot of more fresh sounds, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know. It could be really cool. I would really, really dig listening to that on a dusty old record player.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Excellent. Steve. Well, this is the third release this year of A New Hope on vinyl. So if you haven't bought it the previous two times, then they really, really want you to buy it on vinyl. So I don't care if you have a record player or not, you just need to go out and buy it.
And are
I already bought one from both of the other releases.
Are you suggesting, by the way, by wondering whether there's no fresh content on the prequel soundtracks, that John Williams might plagiarize himself now and again?
No.
That's not saying.
That's right. Not what I'm saying at all. I was saying, as far as the actual sounds in the composition, not that, you know, he does. He's got these themes, these motifs musically that he likes to come back to, depending on what's happening on the screen, and it totally makes sense as a film, you know, soundtrack composer. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, okay, I don't know if there's a lot of maybe electronic presence in the sound that might not translate well to vinyl. Like I said, I haven't listened to the newer soundtracks over and over again like I have the older ones. Mm-hmm. So that's all that I'm saying about being fresh.
Got it. Okay. All right. Just wanted to clarify that, because we've had this discussion before. I'm not trying to stir up any controversy or anything.
You better
not. I'm not trying to get Scott all afire.
Yeah, see,
the last time we brought this up, Scott went off on a defense of the prequel trilogy soundtracks like no other. I will say that. So
wait, I back up. Hold on. I was running to grab some actual vinyl.
Ooh, nice.
The story of Star Wars.
What is that? Nice.
Vinyl. Is that those are stickers, right? That's what they make stickers out of?
Yes. That's what they make stickers out of. One thing I wanted to add before we get into the heavy debate over vinyl here. I actually own a copy of Superman 2, which is, at the time, was pressed with little holograms of the Superman emblem on the disc. So as it would spin, it actually, there's six of them, or five or six of them, that, like, they don't come off the record. They sit, like, in the grooves, and it's real trippy. I can't explain it, but it's amazing when you're watching it. Hmm. What I'm curious now, Greg, since you brought this up, is I really want to find copies of these hologram vinyls that actually project holograms above the record. That fascinates the hell out of me. I don't know.
They're still available to buy. I'll put the links up to the website. I'll send it to you specifically because I know that you want to see it. But I'll put them up on the website too because they're still available to buy that are out there. Yeah, and they had a video of it, and it's weird looking. I mean, it's not like 6 inches above, but yeah. It's probably like a half inch above the record is what it looks like.
That's a trip. Yeah, I was trying to find the actual. I still have my original vinyl copy of the original soundtrack, but I couldn't grab it. It's in one of my cabinets, but I did find my vinyl copy of the Star Wars story.
Nice.
Or the story of Star Wars.
I was going to say Star Wars story. That's the tag for Rogue One.
So, yes.
Right.
Oh, and I stand corrected. The holographic edition, because I'm looking at it right now, was for the Force Awakens soundtrack, not Episode 1. It's the Force Awakens soundtrack.
Okay.
You're not standing at all, Gregory. You're sitting.
I know.
So, Greg, you mentioned that I got all defensive. Was I actually defending the soundtracks of the prequels?
Yeah, you're a big fan of the prequel soundtracks.
Okay, then I'm going to agree with myself. Yes.
Well, at least someone agrees with you.
You know, I'm slightly biased on these. It's so sad. It's such a weird inner turmoil that I share with myself. because of how much I loathe the original prequel trilogies. But I saw, and I know two of the Wretched High VNs just saw John Williams recently, and the reason why is I actually saw John Williams live during the Episode 1 release, and it was phenomenal. At the Hollywood Bowl with an entire, not just his orchestra, but he had an entire arrangement of vocalists in the background singing the Duel of the Fates from Episode 1, which was simply outstanding. So I know you guys who just saw it, Steve and Dave, I believe, just saw John Williams live at the Hollywood Bowl. Tell me how spectacular it was, unless this is something we're getting to.
It's not in the show notes, but I will tell you that I teared up.
Did you?
It was absolutely moving. I was absolutely taken back by how powerful it was, and his comments in between the songs were great. I actually did record them, and I'll see if I can pull them up before the end of the show. But it was just a phenomenal night, and they not just Star Wars stuff, but quite a bit of other famous Hollywood movie soundtracks as well that weren't John Williams. We had we heard The Godfather. We heard Dave, help me out. What else did we hear that night?
They did some Sabrina stuff. Mm-hmm. They did some stuff from On the Waterfront. The concert was kind of broken into two halves, and I think the reason for that was that Mr. Williams at age 80 is not capable of standing to conduct the orchestra for a full, you know, 3 or 3.5 hour concert anymore. But the opening half was a lot of movies stuff from the Paramount Vault. They did one number that was just the Forrest Gump theme to just about any movie that Paramount has ever put out in its history, just well-timed clips.
But he wasn't conducting during those.
No, okay. No, it was a friend of the family. It was a conductor, and I forget his name, but the conductor is the son of a conductor who actually hired John Williams as a musician back in the 40s and 50s, before Mr. Williams was Mr. Williams.
It wasn't the guy who conducted the Boston Pops prior to him, was it?
No.
Okay.
No, but that was kind of the first half, was doing some non-John Williams movie stuff. And then, of course, he comes out, and it was a very Star Wars-heavy music selection. Okay. But it's amazing to me, you know, how successful is John Williams that he has this musical catalog that he can draw a whole concert from and not touch anything from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
They didn't?
No. And Jurassic Park. You don't go near those two movie franchises, and you still fill the evening and leave everybody wanting more. I mean, a high point for me, honestly, was when they did the Superman theme, which I've seen John Williams before. I've not seen him do that. I literally just closed my eyes and took it in.
It's spectacular.
So yeah. Guys, this is, I do have a clip. This is recorded on my iPhone with me holding it up in the air and recording John Williams talking in between pieces. But this is him. So we'll see how this comes out. This is him talking about introducing Princess Leia's theme. So let's just see how this came out. Here we go.
So I wanted to have Princess Leia come out and... I'm sorry.
I take it,
wow,
you guys...
I sounded a lot like George Lucas.
I take it you guys cannot hear that. I wanted to have Princess Leia come out and... can you guys not hear that at all?
For the win.
Dang it. All right, let's try it again.
I need some Bip for tuna. Bip for tuna.
Damn it. All right, I'm going to edit out Greg out of the whole show. And I'm going to put John Williams over Greg.
Like empty parts, because I feel like he just talks about a whole lot of nonsense.
Yeah. I like to hear myself speak, Nico. You know this.
Really quick to wrap up this Star Wars soundtrack talk. There was another... So I mentioned there was a double record. So one has Darth Vader and the Death Star, or Starkiller Base 1, as it's otherwise known. and the other disc looks like it has the two other iconic shots. One is... I don't know if it's a Drew Struzan painting, but it's a very famous painting of the X-Wing TIE Fighter battle over the Death Star. And on the flip side of that looks like Han and Chewie blasting stormtroopers as they try to board the Falcon.
Which, that shot is pretty much the exact shot they recreated when they walk onto the Falcon in Force Awakens as well.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
The X-Wing TIE Fighter shot, most likely, I don't have it in front of me, is the Ralph McQuarrie shot.
Oh, is that a McQuarrie? Okay.
Yeah, yep. I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I already own the vinyl, but this looks like something I would purchase just because I love all the art on all of the disc there. It looks good. And I think it only costs like $35. So... To steal at twice the price.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Excellent.
All right. So we've got a couple of other news stories. Star Wars Battlefront making some news in the Star Wars universe. We've got a DLC coming, the Death Star DLC. coming for Star Wars Battlefront season pass holders. So, Scott, I know you've loved this game, and are you looking forward to the Death Star DLC?
I am. I think the last update that we've been playing was Cloud City. I am excited about it. I am. I love this game. It's a lot of fun. I get a kick out of it. And I think the last update also included direct play, where you actually can play now head to head on your machines, where before it was all online play only. So
Like you can have a two player game.
You can.
Ah, cool. Yeah.
So it it's really expanding. They're doing a great job of it. It kind of took me when we first were getting it, the whole online subscription thing and the downloads was, I don't know, I'm not totally into that, but I got to be honest, being a Star Wars fan, I've been having the best time with this game.
Yeah, I think you'll be able to buy this as a standalone DLC, so you'll be able to still purchase the season pass like you'll get, and you'll get all of the DLCs that they've released to date so far. I think you'll be able to purchase this one as a standalone for a reduced price for just this one DLC. It's still, if you wanted to buy all of them, I think it's still the better value just to purchase the pass, then you can download them all at once. But this one looks interesting to me anyway, is that it looks like they're going to have some starship battles over the Death Star, which sounds really super friggin' cool and exciting. Mm-hmm. I had the exact opposite experience with this game, though. I hated this game. I could not stand it. So it's going to behoove me to drop down another $15, $20, whatever it is. But I think I may have to do it because I think I want to fly over a Death Star.
I need to double check on this, but the next level of Battlefront, or the stuff that they've been talking about at some of the conventions, is it, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong on this, they are having like an X-Wing TIE Fighter type battle scenario in the next version of it. So I thought that this was kind of like a precursor to that, the battle over the Death Star type stuff.
Yeah, I think I've been hearing something similar to, if not the exact same thing that you're hearing. Yeah, there's been a lot of backlash that the game experience has been online only, and that's not what bugs at the online only thing for me. What bugs the thing for me is there's not enough variation in the gameplay. In that, if you've played one level, you've played them all. So it was literally 15 minutes of enjoyment, and then everything else for me was been there, done that.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think for me, the excitement came with the fact that it was something I can actually sit down with my son and kind of connect with in that sense. The thing that bugged me the most is kind of what you're saying. There's a little bit more to it. One of the things that really got to me was the fact that it's not just that all the levels typically are the same. You just have a different look to them. But it's just so frenetic and fast, and you're dead in seconds. And it's like there's no, you know, like adventure. There's no actual exploring of the territories, which I actually wanted to do for like the first, you know, 15, 20 times of each one of the levels. I wanted to go check it all out, but I kept shot in the back all the time. And I'm like, son of a bitch, whoever you are, I'm going to find you and kill you, Jedi Killer 9625.
Obi-69 in your face.
Yeah, seriously. At some point, I'm like, whoever that guy is, I swear to God, I'm going to find him. I'm going to just cut him down. But overall, I have enjoyed the game, and I'm excited to see this this new Death Star content, and then obviously the flight battle sequences. So
cool. Like I say, the game looks fantastic. It plays totally smooth. I mean, every time I've gotten online, I haven't had a problem connecting with other players or lag or anything like that. It's, you know, this is not the type of game that I like to play. So it was always going to be an uphill sell for me. And it's like I say, it's just not my favorite. I do play it with my son. He just wrecks me every time I play it with my second son, I should say. I haven't played with the other son yet. He doesn't come around much anymore.
I don't. I'm really not much of a console player anymore either.
But yeah, so Son Number Two sits there and just wrecks me all the time. And that's cool, I guess. It's fun.
Yeah.
Nice.
Then I go play Fallout and I have a much more fun time with Fallout.
I will say that there are moments in the game that are absolutely fascinating. When you have a Vader and Luke matchup, some of the main characters, when they get kind of have these little confrontation moments, it's fun to watch them go. Like, it really is. You don't die in seconds. You usually, if you have enough health, there's a decent enough little battle, little strategy that's kind of going on there. But yeah, you put Luke or Vader up against any of the peons that just get wiped out in a heartbeat. It's quite fun, actually. I just took out 15 rebels. It's amazing. Wow. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, guys, we're going to put the news on pause for a second because we've got to honor our sponsor.
Sweet.
Of this week's show, Audible.com.
Woo!
Audible.com is a fantastic service, and for you, the listeners of the Wretched Hive podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download and free 30-day trial, so you can check it out. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/hive. That's audibletrial.com/HIVE. And you can sign up for the service there and get a free audiobook download today. And we actually have a sample of an audiobook from audible.com. This is Star Wars Aftermath, Life Debt by Chuck Wendig and narrated by Mark Thompson. So check this out.
Prelude. Jakku, 3 decades ago. The boy runs. His footsteps echo across the hard, unforgiving ground. His feet have no shoes. They are wrapped in ratty bindings, the same bindings Mirsa Topol uses to mend the wounds of those miners and scavengers who come to the anchorite nurse for succor.
So again, Star Wars Aftermath Life Debt can be yours for free today by going to audibletrial.com/hive and claim your free audio download, your audiobook download.
Misa owned a life debt?
And it just so happens that we have a book review this week by a very special member of the show. You know him as Dave. Do not call him Harry Potter. Dave, would you like to give us your review of Chuck Wendig's Life Debt?
I would give this book 2 out of 4 stars. And oh. I feel bad about that. I wanted very much to like this book. The title alone suggests that it's going to be a Han Solo Chewbacca-focused story. The fact that the Millennium Falcon is on the cover of the book lends some credence to that hunch. But of course, that's not it. Life Debt is a larger story, and I suppose I should respect the author for trying to tell a larger story where he's weaving in his cast of characters that he introduced in the first Aftermath book, this kind of ragtag group of new characters that are running around the galaxy hunting down Imperials, like an equivalent of Nazi hunters, I guess, in the 50s and 60s. And they get recruited for a secret off-book mission by one Princess Leia Organa Solo, newly minted Leia Organa Solo, to find her missing husband, who went with Chewbacca to try to liberate Kashyyyk, and they've both disappeared. And the plot kind of moves forward very haltingly along that storyline of finding Han, finding Chewie, and what happens with Kashyyyk. Does that get liberated from Imperial control or not? And my big complaint about the book is similar to my complaint with Aftermath, that there's too much going on. Aftermath had this story about that, that ragtag group coming together, constantly intricate with all these other little introductory things for other items that are going to be brought up in this new expanded universe. That still happens, not as bad here. It jumps around with a bit of a focus on what's going on the Imperial side, which I actually found very interesting. You know, the Emperor's dead, Vader's dead. You have all these Moffs and these admirals and grand admirals running around trying to assume control of the Empire. What's happening with that? There's a self-proclaimed Grand Admiral Sloan who's in control of one of the last super Death Stars, super Star Destroyers, and her escapades of trying to navigate the political quagmire of keeping the Empire together is actually a very interesting story, and I kind of wish there was more of that. I don't want to give too much away, except that, like I said on the last time, you know, if you've got the Millennium Falcon on your cover, you really shouldn't have Han Solo show up until page 200 of the book. That's just bad advertising. Han Solo seems a little written too much like the character knows he's Han Solo, as opposed to just being the swashbuckler machismo guy that he is. You know, he is Han Solo is the closest thing in the Star Wars world to a James Kirk type character. James Kirk doesn't walk around constantly talking about himself and how cool he is. He just, you know, shows up, blows up a moon, sleeps with the random Orion slave girl, and warps out into the next solar system. That is how Han Solo should be, and that's not exactly how he's written in this book. And that was a little bit of a letdown. That said, I'm still going to buy the third one. So 2 out of 4 stars.
All right. So Life Debt is a trilogy then. That's how they're advertising this one?
Yes, it is the Aftermath trilogy. So you had Star Wars Aftermath, book one. Aftermath Life Debt is book two. And coming up next spring, which honestly has a lot of good Star Wars books coming out, will be Aftermath Empire's End.
So Dave, if I'm hearing you correctly, the Han Solo in this story is more like the Han Solo from Return of the Jedi as opposed to the Han Solo from Empire.
Not exact. I wouldn't go that far, because he's the thing that's nice about this is they turn Life Debt on his head a bit, and Han is trying to help Chewie and repay the debt that Han feels he owes Chewie, and it's an interesting try at writing a book about a real pure deep friendship that exists between these two. So I wouldn't say that it's the whipped Han Solo from Return of the Jedi, because Leia's not happy with him at all that he is off doing this.
All right, so he's missing, right? You stated that Leia's looking for her missing husband.
Yes.
Okay. Theoretically, I would assume those 200 pages, he's at the intergalactic strip joint somewhere, hanging with Chewie, having a few drinks there. That's what I'm assuming.
No, they explain what it is. It's not quite that exciting. That would have been a lot cooler, actually.
All right. Mm. All right.
Did you say Grand Admiral Sloan?
Yes.
Is there a Grand Admiral Ferris and a Grand Admiral Cameron by chance?
Wow. No.
All right, just wondering.
When Cameron was in Egypt's land.
By the way, is there...
Let my Cameron go.
I still have a crush on Sloan from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I have to admit.
Oh, sure. My God. Sure. Yeah.
So you're like Cameron, man. You were peeking when she was getting undressed at the pool.
Oh, yeah.
Shame on you, Steve.
I totally peeked. Hey,
Mia Sara was hot. Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it.
Didn't somebody famous play her? I'm Googling it right now as I'm talking. There was the TV show, and who played Sloan on the TV show?
Was that Jennifer Aniston before she was Jennifer Aniston?
That may be accurate, actually, sir. Ferris Bueller TV series cast. Jennifer Aniston was Jeannie Bueller. She was Ferris's sister.
She was his sister. Oh, wow.
Sister. Now his failure is complete.
She plays Jennifer Grey's character. Wow.
Amy Dolans played the role of Sloane Peterson. And did she do anything of note other than that?
Guys,
Can't Buy Me Love.
I would like to say that I pride myself on the unbelievable pop culture crap that I know and did not know that there was a Ferris Bueller's television show.
Oh.
No, how could you not know that?
I swear.
I am disappointed in you.
I think this is a first. I actually know something that Scott doesn't.
Can I just say this? I am a huge fan of a show from the 80s called Tales of the Golden Monkey. Nobody knows that that show even existed, let alone... I can't believe this is a real show. Wow. All right.
Wait, Scott. How about the famous Teddy Z?
I'm sorry?
Are you a fan of the famous Teddy Z?
Teddy Z?
Yeah.
No,
wasn't that an MTV show?
No, that was a CBS show with John Cryer.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
I do remember that show. I thought it was on MTV though, but the name is ringing a bell for me.
Mm.
I do not know this Golden Shower though. If you speak up, I do not know what that Golden Shower show that you're talking about.
Golden
I don't know what that is.
Tales of the Golden
Monkey.
It was a short-lived Indiana Jones style show where this guy
loosely
based, what, maybe a season or two of this show where he flew a seaplane around all these little exotic ports and solved mysteries.
And he pees on monkeys? That's disgusting.
See how it goes?
Poor monkeys.
No wonder why that show didn't last very long. Who wants to see that after the first episode?
A lot of people, actually.
Man, PETA was all over that.
It was ahead of its time, my friend.
All right, we got one final news story, guys, that does not have to do with a certain other movie that we always have a little clip to play before we talk about it. But this one... Star Wars Episode 8 spoilers all over the internet. Crazy spoilers. So I'm going to sound the spoiler alarm. If you do not want to have this conversation and you do not want to know about Episode 8, stop listening right now. Switch over to the, I don't know, the Force Cast or Coffee with Kenobi or something. But this story that you posted, Greg... Very interesting. Very interesting that you put in the show notes here. And this is... This is huge. This is traileraddict.com. Traileraddict.com. And I've actually seen a similar plot synopsis around in other sites online. But this does a good job of sort of summarizing what the rumors are. And so I'm just going to read through this, and I want to get your reactions. You've been warned, it says on traileraddict.com, Star Wars Episode 8 spoilers. So it starts out, Luke Skywalker and Rey are on Octu, just before nightfall as the sun sets. In the background, it starts to rain. Give some details about the costuming. Rey's hair is pulled back. She doesn't have the vest from Episode 7 on, which is interesting. It may lend some credence to this, that there's that much detail. Or it might be, trying to pull the wool over eyes here. But there is quite a bit of detail about the costuming. Luke and Rey are wearing the costumes previously described in other reports. Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren turn up along the coast. Kylo Ren continues advancing towards the heroes with the Knights of Ren. There's no mask on Kylo. He's got the same crossguard lightsaber as he did in 7. Costume looks the same as in 7. So here's where it gets interesting. Rey and Kylo Ren duel one-on-one and end up fighting along the cliff face overlooking the nighttime water. Kylo wants his revenge after Rey disgraced him. The rest of the Knights of Ren go for Luke Skywalker while Rey is left for Kylo. Luke engages the knights on the beach while Kylo fights Rey. The first Black Knight has an axe and moves toward Luke, but is force pushed away to his death after being thrown through the air off the cliff, presumably. Luke dispatches the first knight. He ignites his green lightsaber. Luke moves through each knight one by one. In the meantime, Rey and Kylo's battle moves up the side of the cliff. Suddenly, Rey is nowhere to be seen. She's been taken out of the battle. She's either wounded or went over the side of the cliff. Luke casually walks toward Kylo to finish him off and retreats when he sees his crew is defeated. And the last line, Luke Skywalker is a badass Jedi and he'll destroy your squad. So, what do we think, guys? You think this is legit? Or is this pretty strong fan speculation?
I would go with strong fan speculation, but it could end up being legit. I mean, we do see that flashback of Kylo and the Knights Ren, and, you know, we've been hearing a lot about Luke, you know, being a badass, hopefully. And what better way to, you know, kind of show off any sort of training that Rey's gotten than a big fight?
Yeah, I agree with Nico. I think that based off of the limited things that we've heard, I think these are kind of obvious conclusions that you can see where a story would be going. You know, they're kind of hitting fairly obvious plot points, and that may make it seem that the movie's a little bit predictable, possibly. That being said, Mark Hamill appears to be, for a guy who is, you know, of the same age that Alec Guinness was when he was filming A New Hope in 76, Mark Hamill appears to be in much better shape. And I think he could pull off and maybe with some creative camera work and some stunt doubles, pull off a saber battle that would do it justice. But I want to see this. I really want to see this on film. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I want to agree with both Nico and Greg on this, but I'm going to have to go out on a limb and say that it's more speculation just on the fact that we don't know a lot about the Knights of Ren, and I don't know what their fates were. We don't know as fans what the fates were. We're assuming that they're still alive, but why is Kylo alone on Death Star 3, Starkiller Base number 1, without his knights? I mean, I don't understand why they would just suddenly like, we're breaking up the group, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's never really explained, is it, in any expanded universe?
Not as of yet. I think that's a great point, Scott, because my gut reaction to this is it's just rampant, you know, fan right. fiction at this point.
I mean, to be fair, yes, I'm with you on that, Dave. But to be fair, I want to side with Greg and Nico on this because, God, I'd love to see that fight, seriously, in the rain, in the dark, on the cliffs of that planet, just to see that happen. Yeah, damn it, that's awesome. But how much is that a fanboy speculation? Just like, wow, here's Luke dispatching an entire squad of these Knights of Ren while Rey's kind of, you know, still fighting her heart out, but this time getting her butt kicked, and we don't know her fate. It'd be great, but honestly, I don't know. I don't know. Why are we left in so much of the dark on the Knights of Ren, and why all we see is a flashback moment in Force Awakens, and then suddenly the entire squad's just taking out Luke. They know where he is at the beginning of this film, theoretically.
Let me throw something out for you, Scott. How do we know that was a flashback moment? How do we know that wasn't a flash-forward moment in The Force Awakens?
Damn. That was deep.
That's come up a lot recently, too, in that the vision that Rey had, where there was all the voices from the past that the island shot facing the Knights of Ren, maybe that is a vision of the future, not a vision of the past.
Yeah, and when I say that I think this is just fan, you know, speculation or fan fiction at this point, I absolutely want to see a big bad fight scene like that. I want to see Luke Skywalker, the man who took down Darth Vader in a lightsaber fight. I want to see him cutting it up against clearly inferior opponents.
Oh yeah. Right. No doubt. You know, the best thing is the first sequence in that story, Steve, that you're reading, is the first knight of Ren that gets dispatched is just holding some sort of an axe or some sort of a weapon.
Right.
To see him just get pushed off the side of that cliff, which we all know is the ending of Force Awakens, great. The money shot, the holy fuck shot, is the igniting of the green saber. Seriously, how many of us as fans, when you see that green saber ignite for the first time, you're gonna freaking lose it, man. I mean, lose it.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Moon,
that was like full torqued moonfish moment.
There was some torquing going on there, I think.
There was a lot of torquing. But yeah, seriously, I'd be all over that. But I'm going to throw this out there because, Dave, you brought this up. Holy crap. If that all wasn't a flashback sequence, since we just talked about it, seriously. Okay. I just lost my train of thought. I'm too many things. I'm still stuck on the fight sequence.
I just wish that the people listening to this podcast could watch the video feed of Scott while he's monologuing on this, because the body language and movement is fantastic.
Seriously, I've got like 20 things just like going through my mind at once, and I'm like, oh crap, I just lost that train of thought. Jump on this one over here. Someone pick it up and I'll jump back in.
Well, I just put up on our Facebook page, I'm about to hit publish now on the Wretched Hive podcast Facebook page, an image that I shared with you guys over Messenger a few seconds ago. That's an awesome, awesome looking shot. It must be a fan designed shot, because I couldn't find it anywhere on StarWars.com, but it looks so great that you might think that it's official. But it's a picture of it's all in grays. It just has a big Roman numeral 8 in the center in December 2017, and off to the right there's a cliff with two figures fighting with lightsabers. It just looks amazing, and I could see this being a poster for this movie. It's fantastic.
And oddly enough, I think I see two hobbits in a boat rowing in the water below. What's that about?
Well played. Well played.
And there's a shark fin circling underneath a girl swimming in that water, too. How is that? What is that doing in there?
Spielberg!
Say it right.
Yeah, that's a fan-made, which I'm assuming that's a fan-made poster. I love the idea of almost a silhouette of Luke and Rey. You can see the green and blue saber.
Yeah.
Why Rey's holding her staff also is beyond me. She just can't let that staff go. But that's a great
thing.
Good stuff. That's what she said. All right. We've got some news about Rogue One as well.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic.
It's grounded, like a lot of subject views of what it's like to be really in a war in the Star Wars universe.
Attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide.
A rogue band of resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans and bring new hope to the galaxy.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
Rogue One Reconnaissance. Request one round elimination ASAP. Roger, stand one round elimination. Stand by.
Well, guys, Force Friday is coming up, as we mentioned earlier, September 30th. There's going to be plenty of Rogue One stuff out there to purchase. And there's an interesting site, pyramidinternational.com, posted a catalog for all of their groovy Star Wars Rogue One stuff, and go check it out, pyramidinternational.com.
Yeah, and so I'm going to step in here.
Jump in.
Yeah, what I can gather is this pyramid, they are distributors. So they have a series of vendors who are selling Star Wars things, and they will be distributing the items. Now, what makes Pyramid not especially unique, it's just all of this is not the toys. This is pretty much, it's artwork, posters, you know, mugs, things that you'd have Star Wars items printed on. And even though 2 weeks I lamented the fact that I hate people just distributing catalogs for you to thumb through, this is a catalog for you to thumb through. But the good thing about it is you get a really good look at a lot of the artwork for some of the posters, and some really, really good looking posters coming out for Rogue One. If you're the person who likes Star Wars art, you'll, I think, be very excited to see some of these images coming out. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, great imagery here. Absolutely. Some really, really cool stuff. And you're right. We neglected to have a... We don't have a link for the toys. I know there's a lot of toys coming out as well on the 30th.
I'll throw that out there. Yeah. Two of my favorite sites that I go and check out a lot of the toys, especially the Hasbro stuff, is RebelScum.com.
Oh, yeah.
And GalacticHunter.com. Mm. I know a lot of people do use the Force.net, and they do have an incredible database of information, news, photos and whatnot, but Rebel Scum and Galactic Hunter are two incredible action figure websites.
Now, Rebel Scum is all about the collecting, right? I mean, it's been around. It's one of the originals.
Yeah.
But it's they focus on collecting, so there's going to be more stuff, more toys, more figures and things like that at Rebel Scum.
They do sprinkle in a little bit of news, but it is mostly about the collecting.
Okay. Do you guys collect the... either the Black Series, the 6-inch figures, or the 3 3/4-inch. Anyone collecting still?
No, I
not currently collecting. I have all of my stuff in the past, but I haven't bought any new memorabilia in quite some time.
Oh. Yeah, I stopped once. Sad to say, Disney kind of took over. The transition when The Force Awakens kind of came out and the Disney products. The merger with Hasbro and Disney, sad to say, just isn't as good as the old Hasbro toys, and especially the old Kenner toys. They've kind of gone back to the original 6 points of articulation, not the best sculpts anymore, and I was done. Prior to the Disney takeover, Hasbro was making some of the best, absolute best recreations in the 3 3/4-inch toy model, but they translated that to let's simplify back down to the 6 points of articulation for the 3 3/4-inch, and then we'll do these super articulated 6-inch figures. And you know what? It's just too damn expensive nowadays.
Yeah.
When a 3 3/4-inch figure is now $10, that's unbelievable to me.
You know, Dave and I were having a kind of a related conversation about comic books. Dave's got, well, I think all of us have a pretty extensive comic book collection, but Dave probably the most extensive of all of us. And what it comes down to for me is when you're collecting, the things that are collectible are the things that are scarce and rare. And I don't know how you justify anything that you can pick up at Target, Walmart, Best Buy, etc., Amazon, as being rare. These are mass produced in the thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands, and it's hard to get value of them for them when there are so many of them out there.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, it's true. That's why comics per se aren't really a collectible anymore, because 40 years ago, you know, Star Wars 1 hits the newsstand, even though more copies of it were produced than would be produced for a print run today, they were out on the newsstand. People didn't think about them, didn't preserve them or do anything. It's impossible to find a comic in the last probably 20 years that wasn't sold in a comic book store and already given to somebody in a Mylar bag with a backboard in it so that it's perfectly preserved for all time. It's actually harder to find a crappy comic, you know, a dog-eared one that was produced in the last 20 years, than it is to find a mint one from 1968 at this point.
True.
There's no collectible market except for the weird variant things that, you know, they really do the very limited runs of, to your point, Greg. You know, there's only 5,000 versions of this cover available, or maybe there's only, you know, 2,000 of this special select action figure available.
Yeah. Hasbro's really been a part of that over the last 15, 20 years. As much as I enjoyed the collecting aspect of it, it was more about the hunt, trying to find some of those figures which seem to be a little bit more collectible or harder to find, but even then they're still being produced in the thousands, and eventually you will come across one or two that seem to be hard to find. But I mean, hell, I mean, you look at some of those figures, you have at one point, I don't even know the guy's name, but the guy that's running across Cloud City carrying what looks like an ice cream maker, they call him Ice Cream Maker Guy, he gets his own action figure. And awesome. Bo Scheck, the sideburn guy that's hanging out at the bar in the cantina, I mean, that guy was ridiculed, but hey, you know, they made that guy too.
And there's still not an Uncle Owen Remains figure?
You got Bo Scheck, but no Uncle Owen Aunt Brew Remains.
You actually have the entire cantina, or the near entire cantina, including, if you look at the variants that were made, characters that were made only for the holiday special edition, or the holiday special. There were characters that were never in the original films that showed up on a Hasbro backing card at a Target and a Walmart that were characters that were hanging out with the Golden Girl lady. What's her name?
Dee Arthur?
Dee Arthur, thanks. Damn you, Jamesons, for messing my memory up.
Nice.
Who could forget Dee Arthur?
Why didn't they make Jameson's her? Good. I would have bought her action figure.
Wow, you can't make that sound dirty. Yeah, I would have bought her action figure.
I was gonna say she's got to
show her my golden monkey. That's all I'm saying.
She's got a figure built for action.
I'll work her 6 points of articulation.
Oh yeah, my geek was showing pretty hard on that one. Sorry.
Insert
and gentlemen. I want to congratulate each and every one of us for showing the maturity and tact that is due this very subject. I want to thank you all for being with me on this.
This is Golden Girls talk.
This comes out. Seriously, we've already talked about golden showers on this show. How are you pulling that card right now?
This used to be a family show, too.
We seriously have to start an offline drinking game for every time you say money shot, though.
Oh, damn. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the podcast.
You're gonna need a bigger bottle, my friend.
Well, don't forget. Hold on a second. Hold on.
I got three of them. I'm ready.
I'm calling my shot right now.
Oh, my God. It's the Very Lonely Luke Tweet of the Week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
Oh, guys, here we are again. Another edition of the Very Lonely Luke Tweet of the Week. I did not go back very far today. There's just from earlier today, maybe late yesterday, no, earlier today. This is something that I know is near and dear to all of our hearts. So from earlier today, my life didn't turn out too badly. I'm surrounded by water. There is no sand for thousands of miles. My dad would be so proud.
That's the best one yet. I love it. Oh, sand gets everywhere. That's awesome.
Scores gets everywhere.
You can just retire at this point.
Yeah. Right,
Greg, I can't wait till you hit some of the classic ones, man. I love this. That made me laugh pretty good. You know what that was? That was a money shot, my bro.
I did hit the money shot for the 7th.
That was a money shot for sure, no doubt about it. No sound for miles. Wow. Well, this has been a fun show, guys. Another episode 19 in the books. the Wretched Hive podcast. And we would love to hear from our listeners. We haven't gotten a voicemail in a couple of weeks. Give us a call, people. Give us some content. Because, you know, these shows need to be longer. So come on. Give us more to talk about.
Wait a minute. Real quick, I don't want to have to back the song up again. So real quick, Nico, quick, without thinking about it, your choice. Is it going to be get rid of Jar Jar from the prequels or get rid of Hayden Christensen, Anakin Skywalker at the end of Jedi Only? Which one do you remove? Hello?
He has Nico? You on... I think he's playing... TF2 on Steam or something.
No, sorry. I have my mic muted. No, I would remove Hayden for sure.
Alright. Oh, Hayden wins!
At least Jar Jar we can make fun of, but Hayden Christensen at the end is just, like, doesn't make sense.
Nice. Well, if you agree with Nico, you want to get rid of Hayden, give us a call. 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. Leave us a voice message. There's 100% chance it'll get played on the air. You can email us, wretchedhive@yahoo.com. Maybe the best way to connect with us is through Facebook, facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. And we'd love to hear a review from you on iTunes. Search iTunes Podcast for The Wretched Hive. Leave us a review. 5 stars, 1 star, any stars, we don't care. Leave us a review, and we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Guys, final thoughts.
I got to go get a monkey and make a golden shower.
May the force be with us all. We're going to need it after this episode. Bye-bye. See you in a couple weeks.
Funny shot.